May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please bear with me as I have a cold, so if you can't hear, then just consider it the sermon that you won't get to hear. I'm sorry. Well, many of us probably know the old computer joke about why the devil always loses his files whenever his computer crashes, but our Lord never does. Because Jesus saves. All right. Salvation. That's why Jesus came. The Creed boldly declares for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. Our loving Father sent his only begotten Son to dwell among us through the incarnating power of the Spirit within a human womb. The fullness of our triune God at work to live as one of us in fully human flesh. I heard Cardinal Dolan recently saying how remarkable this event truly is. It's not everyone in America, even among self-proclaimed Christians, that believes Jesus really is God, that he was really born of a virgin, that angels really showed up to announce his birth, according to a recent Pew survey. Still, we take it for granted. We get sentimental over a cutesy baby in a manger scene that's on display in the seasonal section of the store. We show up ready for candlelight and carols at a service like this, but few of us marvel at what has happened or why it came to be in the first place. Similarly, we might have tuned out during the short snippet from Paul's letter to his protege, Titus. We might have heard the words, but then allowed ourselves moments later to be distracted by the thought of Linus standing under that single spotlight, reading from the very same gospel passage that Kelly read for us this evening. If you're like me, you maybe even had Vince Guaraldi's trio playing that mellow jazz groove in the background in your head alongside that. But I don't want to lose sight of these words to Titus because they are of prime importance. Why? Because they tell us why Jesus bothered to come in the first place. The story of Jesus' incarnation, his enfleshment, his whole godness embodying his newly born humanness. It was all so that we might be saved, rescued, redeemed, set free from sin and death, given a new lease on life, restored to a right relationship with God and neighbor. Amnesty was offered so our rebellion against heaven and our complicity with Satan might cease. Everybody, yes, everybody is extended this grace. No one is excluded because, as St. Paul himself says, he brings salvation to all. But wait, there's more. You're probably sick of hearing that phrase after 9 to 2 months of Christmas commercials, right? But God's grace is not only sets our eternity right, it also trains us. Many of us are looking to New Year's resolutions while stuffing the last Christmas cookies into our mouths. A new diet, a new attitude, a new exercise regimen, a new attempt to quit smoking. But maybe a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes has something to say about a resolution for you. Maybe you ought to renounce impiety and worldly passions. Maybe we need to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly. Maybe I need to be more vigilant as I wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants the people for whom he sent his son to save to become pure, purposeful, and passionate about him. He doesn't want besetting sins, lack of Christ-like focus, or the moroseness and drudgery of earthly life to get in the way of his love flowing freely to you and through you. Of course, the resolutions we have been contemplating might line up pretty squarely under one of those categories, but perhaps this holy night we might ask the Holy Spirit, what might be the best part of our character to address this coming year? As he's writing to Titus, Paul sums up what he just said in another way. He it is who gave himself for us, talking about Jesus, that he might redeem us all from iniquity, that's salvation pointing to the future, and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds, that's salvation right now. Jesus came in the past to help us live in the present and have hope for the future. Jesus wants us to leave our sinfulness in the dustbin of history. Jesus wants us to be avid about loving him and others right now. Jesus wants us to be excited about the prospect of what heaven on earth will look like when he returns. That's why our loving Lord gave up his glory and came in humility. He did it all for you, for you, and for you. St. Paul doesn't say it directly to Titus tonight, but hopefully you've picked up on the biggest reason why Jesus came. He came because he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent prophets like Isaiah who could envision a day when a mere child would become the Prince of Peace. He loves you so much that he inspired musicians like King David or the sons of Korah to compose a psalm that encourages us to rejoice over an amazing God with them as well. He loves you so much that he gave us preachers like Paul and Titus to keep telling us the good news long after angels' voices stopped echoing in the heavens. And he loves you so much that he was willing to give up his privileges as God and take on our pain-prone, death-destined, sorrow-sickened nature as a human baby. Jesus did all that and more just to let you know how much he loves you, how much he longs to interact with you, desires to bring you all the good that's possible, both in this life and the next. So forgive me if I didn't offer something sappy or sentimental this blessed evening, but you've probably had plenty of that already with all the Lifetime Network holiday movies and hearing Christmas shoes for the 27th time while out shopping. Besides, life's too short, and Christ's incarnation is too amazing for us to forget why he did it to begin with. Jesus came to save us, and he saves us because he loves us. That's why we can call Jesus all the wonderful messianic names in Isaiah. His love and salvation are why we can join the psalmist's songs of praise. That's why we can live out our salvation free from sin now and have hope for the future like Paul encouraged Titus about. And that loving salvation is the very reason why Christ came in such humility so long ago. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to adore you this holy night, rejoicing in how you came among us in humility to save us from sin and death. Let your Father's love enfold us and your Spirit's power clothe us with your salvation, so we might truly live in the goodness, freedom, and hope you desire for all men and women in every age. And may we never forget how remarkable the mystery of your incarnation is, so that our joy may never cease long after the trees, presents, and goodies are gone. Happy birthday, and glory be to your name forever and ever.